You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Nick and Nolan Show, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. With your host, Nick Batt.
The Prime Minister of Sweden visited Washington today, and my tiny little nipples went to France.
And Bruce Nolan.
Yo, brethren, what up with thee?
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of the Nick and Nolan Show, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Nick Batt. You can find me on Twitter at N-I-C-K-B-A-T. Along with me, as always,
Bruce Nolan. You can find me on Twitter at Bruce Exclusive.
And we have got a very special guest with us, Mr. Aaron Quinn from Cover One. Aaron, how are you this morning?
I'm living the dream. I'm going to eat a ton of food. You guys have to drive today, and I get to just go back to my comfort of my own home, my own throne.
That is true. Where can the people find you on Twitter, Aaron?
At AaronQuinn716, engaging as much as I can.
Awesome. So we are at Greek to Me in Tonawanda, mm-hmm. and we are going to get the closest thing that we know Buffalo has to offer to a garbage plate.
That's
and if there's a competitor out there that people know about that we don't, please DM us, because we will be here again, and we perhaps will put us through this torture one more time.
You're already signing up for a sequel?
Potential. Yeah, we are. I mean,
I'd give it a few hours before you, commit to it on record.
Right. Well, luckily, this isn't going to drop immediately, so this is not live. We are not live. So you said, Aaron, that your wife actually works in Rochester frequently and has had a garbage plate?
She has, yeah. So they go out to lunch all the time. She works with a bunch of dudes, so they brought her to the place, one of the places where it has a real garbage plate. So I told her that's what we were up to today. And I asked her advice, and she told me not to. She said, don't do it. It'll ruin the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Good. I'm not scared of getting my day ruined by food, though.
No.
If it has to be ruined by something, let's have it be ruined with joy on the front end.
I'm going to beat this to joke to death, but it is the Lord's Day, and we are going to make an offering at the foot of the garbage plate gods.
Absolutely. Well, you're driving with a god today, so there we go. You guys went to Ted's the other day, right?
We did go to Ted's with Marcel Louis Jean. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
How'd you like it?
I love Ted's. I've been to Ted's, multiple times.
Yeah.
The only thing that I had this weekend that I had not had previously was going to be this. I hadn't been to Barville for wings, but I had had wings at many of the other establishments, and they were fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the best wings I've ever had, for sure. But I hadn't had a stinger from Jim's, but I had a stinger for it.
I haven't had a stinger either, and Jim's literally around the corner from my house.
Dude, this was legit. Yes.
Yes,
I'm
we
ready.
Are.
Yeah. Can I do a hangover plate, two dogs?
Do you want to add any cheese?
Yeah, add cheese.
American, Swiss, provolone, cheddar.
Cheddar.
French fries, tater tots, or home fries?
I'm going to do tater tots.
And potato salad, macaroni, or coleslaw?
Macaroni salad.
Right. Texas sauce, mustard, onion on top?
Yes, please. As God intended.
Yeah, I'll do exactly what he did.
I'm going to do the steak hangover plate. Add cheese, cheddar.
What a way to treat a filet mignon.
let's do home fries.
Made for hot dogs.
And no mustard.
Okay. Potato, macaroni, or coleslaw?
Macaroni.
Thank you so much.
Thank you much. So before we go back to Ted's, do you guys watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee at all?
Oh yeah, I've seen. Yes. I've seen several. I'm not totally up to date, but I've seen dozens.
So before the episode, Jerry will explain the car and why it reminds him of whoever it is that he's picking up.
Right.
I really find it great that you guys picked the garbage plate for me for all my hot takes.
Truth be told, we did offer the garbage plate to Tim Graham. And Tim Graham said, I've never really felt the desire to do that. I've never felt the need to do that. Because we were like, well, hey, it'd be something we could experience it together. And he was like, Pat. I mean, no.
He's smarter than me.
There's lots of things I would like to experience in life, he said. That has never been a priority for me.
Really? Yeah,
the fact that he wants to experience so many things, and that's not one of them.
But the comment that I made back to him when he was like, yeah, I never really wanted to do a garbage. I still have no desire to do a garbage plate. He talks about doing drugs and stuff. He's like, I have no desire to do a garbage plate. We were like, well, it's probably a test to your good mental health.
I'll do some peyote, but I won't touch it.
Yeah, right.
But yeah. No, I love it. Tim's probably top three all time. Not even just Bill's, just sports, writers, personalities.
I mean, I put him on the same level as a guy like Bob Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob Lee's top of mind because he just retired from me. But guys who I think bring that kind of perspective and just reliably high quality content,
you can tell how
crazy
people in the industry feel about him, and then like players and past players, because the content that he gets, like you have to have solid relationships with people to get the stories and allow him to tell certain things that he's been able to tell.
Yeah.
No one else gets those. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, Aaron, you have not lived here forever, right? You've said this many times.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners a little bit about what your experience being in Western New York is. How long you been here now?
Since 2012. We moved up here, had an apartment in Williamsville, loved it. It was only supposed to be a 3-year stay here because of my wife's job. It was supposed to be 3 years, and then you're off to the next spot. Policy changed, and lucky for us, we can stay here as long as we want. And we love it. We live in Tonawanda now. And it really feels like home. Our two kids were both born here, so we have some roots starting to settle here. And we were just talking the other night about retirement and stuff and like where we want to be. And we want to retire, you know, the winters somewhere else. But I think we're going to try to make this home because the people are super nice. Our neighbors feel like family. We don't have a lot of family here, but the community itself is. And every time that we leave and come back, it has that feeling that you're coming back to home, which I don't think you get everywhere else when you move. If I've moved around some different spots, it takes a while to create that feeling like this is my home.
Yeah. I'm interested because we spoke off air before we got everything set up that you have worked on multiple different popular Buffalo Bills podcasts.
Yeah.
And we're not going to throw any shade to anybody, but now you're with Cover One.
Yep.
Have been with Cover One for some time. Can you tell us a little bit about what's special with what you guys got going on over there from your experiences being elsewhere as well?
Yeah, so it's something I've always wanted to be involved in, so I did latch on to other entities throughout the years, and I actually hit up Eric 2 or 3 times before he was finally like, whatever, dude, yeah, come work for me. But I was hitting him up for a long time. He was doing something different than everybody else has been doing for a long time. And I think that our generation of fans is not, again, not to call anyone out, they're not looking for like the quick clickbaits based off one tweet. They want in-depth to learn about the game of football, right? Like, we want to learn more, I think. And it's not just football, it's everything this generation of fans consumes. We want to know as much as we can about it. And I think that's what Cover One did for me as a fan. And so I saw that I think that's the trend going forward of quality content over a ton of quantity content and just getting clicks. I think fans want to be able to dive in deep. So I saw that as a trend that's going the right way, and he's a guy that's doing it the right way. So I hit him up a bunch of times. I was like, what can I do? I'm not a writer. I can't do that. He wasn't really doing much of a podcast at the time, and I'm not a film analyst guy anyway, so I didn't think I could help him there. So I started doing graphics for him and helping out there, and then the opportunity came up to do the Locked On Bills podcast when he was running it, and then we transitioned over to doing it ourselves. And I don't know how I tricked him, but he's allowed me to continue to run that this long. And then we brought Greg on, and never met the guy in my life, and just instantly had a good connection and chemistry, and it's just been great.
I want to talk to you about you and Greg.
Yeah.
You guys do a show weekly, and you live.
All the time.
So tell me about you and Greg live and what that's like.
So doing live is super hard.
I would imagine you guys have to have a ton of trust.
There's some trust.
You don't want to put the other person in a bad light when they don't have any ability to like think through it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of pods will have a structure to their podcast going into it, and we don't. We like get on, meet each other, and we're like, all right, we're talking about DBs today. You lead. And then it's just hoping that it goes well. And I think there is some trust there. One of the hardest things I've developed live is not talking over each other. Right, especially when you're not in the same location. Like here, we're on the same location. I can take your cues that you want to say something. Live, that's hard because we also have a chat going and we're trying to interact with the people in the chat and see each other.
I couldn't do that.
There's a lot going on. you do miss stuff, though, when you get out of the pod. There's things that maybe you said a guy's name wrong, and you can't go back and take it back, and people kill you on YouTube for it. You gotta have a little bit of thick skin with that kind of thing. But yeah, there's a lot of trust involved, but it's worked so far. There's guys that it doesn't work with, and that's unfortunate, and you just don't bring them back on all that much. But Greg and I have really worked well together. Nate Geary's another one. Nate's not on as often. He comes on more often during the season. He's professional, though, so it's easy to work with a guy that's a pro.
Do you and him ever do in the same place, because you're both in Buffalo?
We don't, no. I'm super, like, a homebody guy. I don't go out a ton. But no, we've never gone to do it in the same place. We don't have the cool setup you guys do either. I just have a USB plug-in mic in my computer, so I don't know how to make all that split. I've talked to Rockpile because they do a lot of stuff like that. But we want to start doing that, but I know he's done it with Rockpile down over their place and stuff. But no, Nate and I have never gotten together. It's coming up soon, though. Everyone's having a get-together.
Yeah. 27th, right?
What's that?
27th?
27th, yeah.
Is there going to be audio coming out of that?
I don't think so. I think it's just kind of, we're going to be hanging out. We might be too drunk, so.
That's fair.
Put audio out there on the record. Yeah.
Well, just in case you were wondering, even when you have things live, you still get skewered. And still get, when you make a mistake.
When you're not live.
When you're not live, yeah.
Yeah, even when you're not live. Famously, in one of our pre-draft episodes, I called Jerry Tillery, Jeffrey Tillery, like 5 times. Yeah. And after we got done, he edited it, didn't know, right?
I don't know the guy. I knew the name Tillery.
And I listened to it back, and I was like, oh, no. Maybe it was just, it's okay. Maybe it was just a slip-up. And then it comes again. Okay, it wasn't a slip-up. It comes the third time, I'm like, oh, I know his name. I know his number, his height, and his weight, and I got his name wrong. That was a less than stellar moment for me.
It doesn't matter, though, honestly, because if I'm listening to that, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And I know that
people
with draft, it's hard to know every guy, and you get guys mixed up. It's not that you didn't know, and you're in the middle of a podcast, there's a lot going on, and you just... It happens on the radio. I hear guys on the radio all the time make a mistake.
And we were talking about Jeffrey Simmons like 5 seconds earlier.
Yeah. I think that it's more a reflection of the people who jump in and like do the gotcha, you know, and want to like fact check everything you say whenever you're on. You know, I can't imagine how the guys who do 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know what I mean? Like, my respect level for them and my appetite to call them out whenever they get something wrong is, like, nil now. Because it's hard. And it's more a reflection of the person who is making the judgment than it is on you getting something minute incorrect.
Yeah.
Except when Stephen A. Smith says Darcel Marius. Yeah. Except for that
that's
I will never get sick of that.
If you're making a meme, you're fair game.
If I make a mistake that's meme worthy, have at it.
Do you have my
explicit permission?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite live on air story?
Yeah, I do. So we do the post game show, and that can be really hard to do anyway because the season, we had that horrible November, what was it, 2 seasons ago, where we got trounced by the Saints. I think the Chargers whipped us up pretty good. Peterman came in. That run of November of just getting beat up and then having to go online and talk about it with people right after it happened is super hard for me. Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, we are somewhat part of the media, but I'm just a fanboy. I'm a Bills fanboy at the end of the day. So I'm emotionally invested. That's hard to do. But the best moment was going on after the playoffs, getting into the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I'm on my couch watching that Bengals-Ravens game. My wife's got some video of me maybe crying. I'm not going to admit that I cried, but she says I did. And then
she has a video. How do we not know?
Is it not conclusive video evidence?
It's a bad angle. You can't see if the ball touched the ground or not.
Yeah, no.
Is it a catch? Is it a cry? Is the next thing that the NFL
it's gotta
has
go
to
review.
Tackle.
Yeah,
that's funny.
And within 15 minutes of all that happening, I had to kind of try to compose myself and go on live. And I went on by myself at the time, and I forget who was supposed to go on with me, but they bailed on me last second. They're like, I can't do it. And I was like, well, I still got to go talk to people. And so I'm on there, and there's moments of just like, I'm trying not to cry on air, and just, you know, it wasn't even so much a show as it was just open conversation with the people in the chat of just how awesome is this. And so that probably stands out to me the most, and that got a ton of views. My wife went to work the next week, and she's like, I saw your husband online crying about the Bills on YouTube. What's that about? And so it was a fun moment for me.
Yeah.
I hope that I get to live something like that. happen soon.
I don't think I ever spoke to you, Bruce, about where you were when the drought was broken. Maybe we probably have, but I don't remember.
I was in my living room, and I was standing pacing, and my wife was with me, and we had flipped over to the game after the Miami Dolphins game, and we were just glued. We were absolutely glued. And when that touchdown happened from Andy Dalton to Tyler Boyd, we grabbed each other. And you know, in the movies, you see that jump hug, that strange jump hug where you're hugging each other, but you're jumping up and down simultaneously. I didn't think people actually did that in real life until that moment.
Yeah.
And we were just screaming and shouting, and we just kept saying, the Bills are in the playoffs, the Bills are in the playoffs, the Bills are in the playoffs. And then immediately after that, my heart started sinking, and I was like, wait, no, the Ravens still have time.
Yeah, really.
And then we stopped, and we sat down, and we just glued to the television. And then once it finally happened, we had already released the joy. Yeah. Now it was the relief.
Yeah. Right,
so exactly. I had two separate moments, yeah. One of pure unadulterated joy, the other of relief,
right.
Of it's this real. Chills and the real. And I just kept walking around the living room going, the Bills are in the playoffs. I can't believe the Bills are in the playoffs. And it was a special moment.
Yeah, it was. That makes so much sense to me, like how you went through the stages. Because for me, when it was 4th and 12, right, whenever he threw the touchdown pass, I was already like, okay, it's done. Like, there's no way, right?
This is us.
This is us, exactly. Like, do the Bills ever have a 4th and 12 go their way? No, not really. So then we get it, and I'm losing my shit. And I'm at a very small New Year's Eve get-together party. No one else there is a Bills fan. My wife is tangentially a Bills fan. She's a Bills fan for my mental health.
Same.
And I very, very quickly drank a lot after the thing and called my dad and was in a recliner that I wasn't that familiar with, and I leaned back talking to my father in Texas because he's a Bills fan. He's the one who introduced me to the Bills. And the recliner actually tipped backwards, and I just stayed there. I didn't even get up.
Don't even get
just
it.
Talking to my
this
father.
This is my life now.
Yeah, this is.
Who cares?
We're in the playoffs. Yeah. This is what I have to do to be in the playoffs. We'll do it. But it's so funny because I imagine I went through the same things that you described. But can you, thinking like, okay, wait, I can't celebrate yet because the Ravens have time. Can you imagine if just change the teams, and of course it's not possible to do this, but if it was the Titans who had the opportunity to come back and screw us, how much more anxious I would have been just because of the history and the ownership of the Music City Miracle. I don't know if anybody else would have felt that way, but I just would have been like, why this team?
I hate you for putting that
in your mind.
In my head.
Yeah, you did get pretty stoic there for a second. Your face
Why are you
went
doing
pretty
that
straight,
to me, man.
It's over.
I had never considered that painful possibility until you just now said it.
Yeah,
why you got to do me like that?
Wouldn't it? I mean, really, if that was the situation we were in, wouldn't it have been even more heightened?
Yeah,
it would have raised the stakes for me. But
yeah, it would have been worse with the time left if it was the Pats, because they have done it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Where like this Titans team, yeah, they did it to us a while back, and
there's just a history,
that scar that's still deep embedded into my brain. But the Pats maybe haven't done it to us as many times in a heartbreaking fashion.
But you would have just believed that they were going to do it.
You could give Tom Brady 28 seconds left on the clock and no timeouts, and I'm not comfortable. So that would have been a whole nother ballgame. Where I felt how you felt, but knowing that Joe Flacco was the guy, that gave
like
a little bit.
Little blanky. It's like, okay, it's a little chilly in here, but I've got this nice Joe Flacco blanky that I think is going to keep me warm.
Yeah.
I am definitely not Wacko for Flacco at this point.
Yeah.
So I think that would have changed the dynamic of this whole Bills-Titans offseason poll, I think. I think I would have been a little bit even more bitter about that if they had been the ones who had done that to us.
I don't know, what'd you get us?
They're covered in candy. I don't know. I just said, give me all the...
Trick-or-treat donuts?
Yeah, that's right. You guys are welcome for the diabetes. But
we are sitting here next to a box of Paula's Donuts.
Yeah, and Aaron was incredibly
generous. By Aaron Quinn, unexpectedly. And this little piece of tape is not sufficient to hold me out of what is coming.
Yeah, we have a garbage bag coming. I will say, too, that the toll of the weekend is now this morning... Late last night and this morning, I'm feeling the damage of what we've done.
Well, you elected the hot wings.
got hot wings at Barbell, and this is a, I said this on Twitter, and this is a real bone to pick for me. Are you a spicy food guy?
Love it.
Love super spicy hot food. How many times have you gone to name your restaurant, Mexican food, Italian food, Thai, wings, and they say hot, or there's three chili peppers next to it, or it says hot in parentheses, or spicy, or whatever, and you order it, and it's nothing.
Yeah.
Not at all. So I go to Barbell, and I've had the hot wings at Duff's, and I didn't really think much of them at all. So I go to Barbell and I say, I get hot. And he goes, hot's really hot. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe, I don't know you. Yeah. Like, you don't know me. I don't know.
Are you just pouring more sauce?
Yeah, like, I don't know what this, I don't know what this means.
Yeah.
They were motherfucking serious. I mean, like, that was, they were terrific. And it was incredible. They were delicious. It wasn't even like the hot that, like, there's no flavor. It was like the flavor is there, everything is right, but the heat level and the sting is just like turned way up.
You might have made a huge miscalculation in your timing of eating wings last night and then a garbage plate.
Yeah, the wings
this morning. That's going to be a tough ride.
Let me just tell you that the, I can, for anybody who's concerned about me, the wings have already done at least some damage. Okay. There may be additional damage coming, but there is a portion of it that's already done its work.
Did you guys ever watch, I think it was last year or maybe 2 years ago, Drew from the Rock Pile had the Carolina Reaper challenge at a local restaurant.
Oh, I know. I didn't.
And they did it live.
He talked about it.
They did it live. And then the next day, his wife recorded him, the sounds that he was making. He has that tape somewhere. Go ask him. The sounds he's making in the middle of the night. They almost rushed him to the emergency room. He was like in cold sweats. He was like, oh my God, you got to get your hands on that video. I'm sorry, Drew, if you're trying to conceal that, but one of the funniest things I've seen.
The thing about Drew, too, is that Drew, he's got such a unique voice that if you take that voice and you put it in peril.
It was hilarious. He's such like a large personality and being. Like, yeah. When I met Drew, he's just over the top, loud, funny guy. And then just to see him curled up in the fetal position, almost paralyzed from the heat, is amazing. It was the best thing I've seen online.
You know what's one of the cool things about being a podcaster, and I'm wondering if this is your experience too, is that specifically in the Bills community, there is, I consider so many of the guys that we talk to and work with that do other shows with other networks and other places, peers.
Yeah.
And the, it's, I don't know if it's necessarily indicative of just like the, it goes on with like the City of Good Neighbors and the Buffalo mentality and all that, but I mean, we have like legitimate casual or good friendships with people probably would have never otherwise crossed paths with.
Yeah.
You know, just by doing similar work and wanting to talk about the Bills, and the same with even listeners and people on Twitter who interact with us on the regular, you know?
Yeah.
That's a cool thing about this whole gig that I was not necessarily expecting.
It's, so being somebody that's not from the area, Twitter and that community has always been like that, and that was always a draw for me because growing up in Patriots country, I didn't know, I knew maybe two or three Bills fans, so we had a Packers bar, and it would be like four people that
meet.
It's not a Backers bar, right? It's just four of us meeting up.
It's a Backers club.
Yeah, barely.
Good, good.
I got a hot dog hang over here.
That's me.
Hot dog hang over here.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the steak, so I'll grab you some napkins.
All right. I love the cursory piece of fruit.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to say, this is going to turn me around.
We're going to make this healthy.
Else?
I don't think, I got hot sauce. We're good.
I don't think you could put anything else on here.
Yeah, can I use your phone to take a photo of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got it.
Because I want to take a picture of the cursory piece of fruit here so the listeners at home can see this. That is not going to do. That. This tiny little piece of cantaloupe or honeydew melon is not going to turn around what I am about to do to myself.
I don't know, though. It makes me feel like I'm getting some balance.
Some balance.
The scale's not totally...
I love the piece of Italian bread, too. Like, I'm going to turn this into a sandwich of some kind.
It's just there to sop up the grease at this point.
I guess. Honestly. So it's always been cool. And then I think the way I look at it, because people ask me about that all the time, the way I've always looked at it is... we're not competing with each other, right? Like, we can't, at Cover One, we can't make enough content to do what WGR does. And I believe, as much as I like a lot of the guys at WGR, I believe there needs to be competition, an alternative, for people to have something to listen to. And that can't happen unless there's a lot of people, because we all have jobs, we all have lives. We don't get paid enough to do 4-hour shows a day and fill whatever it is, 12, 16 hours of content a day that WGR can fill. And when you're competing with that, you're going to need 12, 15 shows doing an hour one time a week to even get close to giving listeners what they want. And I'm a Bills fan. You guys are Bills fans. We consume the media. There's more than enough room for quality content. And so I think that that creates a culture within the podcast group that says, hey, we're not competing with you guys, right? We want everybody. The only time I get mad is when people are putting out not quality content. If you're putting out quality content, I'm going to support you. I'm going to become your friend. I want to talk to you. I want to learn what you're doing so that I can put my podcast and also bring you on as guests like you guys are doing, you know, and give more content to people and get more reach. So I think it's a great community.
So the nice thing about what we're doing right now is that this is not your Bruce. You are not the only person who's evaluating this. Mm-hmm. This is all of our first garbage play.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you wanted to, Bruce, why don't you do an effort? I'm trying to describe what's in front of you right now.
So what I have here is almost entirely unevaluatable because it is almost entirely covered with chili sauce.
Is which, that what it is?
Yeah, it's right. It's a
called Texas sauce.
It's almost like a Texas chili, almost like a Skyline chili. That's over top of everything else, and some onions. But underneath it, I have a mound of home fries and chopped steak.
We've got tater tots and hot dogs, right?
Yeah,
that's what Aaron and I have.
I think you did a disservice to steak everywhere. By hiding it under all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it also shows that you're more of a gentleman than the two of us.
Well, I can appreciate steak in multiple forms.
Yeah.
I can appreciate steak in my, not just a steak, I can appreciate a cheese steak. I can, you know, it's just another method of delivering
meat. He loves the cow in every way, shape, and form.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Oh, yeah, you're a barbecue guy, aren't you?
I am. And this morning on my Facebook memories or whatever, 10 years ago or something, I had a bunch of pictures from barbecue competition I was at, and I missed that so much, just the gluttonous amount of food getting passed around. And that's actually a similar community to the podcast community, right? You're in the middle of competing with a bunch of each other, but everybody's like, here, try this. Oh, what do you do? And I miss that so much, but I mostly miss the beef.
Yeah,
he was eating beef all the time.
The person giving me the beef, take him or leave him. The beef, yes, please.
Keep it.
So you can only have one, beef or pork?
Beef.
No, I like beef.
I don't know about that.
I like beef. However, I'll level with you. There is something special about a good pulled pork is a unique. I don't know, man.
But you're putting me back at me in the wall and saying
it's a tough call.
If you're picking one type of cut, yeah. I mean, I don't know. What is it going to be?
One cut from the primals of beef?
From beef or pork, yeah.
Beef or pork, like, one cut.
Ribeye. Taking a ribeye every day. A little salt and pepper grilled up.
Yeah.
I love brisket, too. Brisket would be hard to... That's my thing with a cow. Versus pork, yeah, you get bacon. Bacon's fantastic. You can make a lot of your salamis and stuff like that. But I feel like cow's a lot more versatile. The amount of cuts in a cow, the way you can cook the different cuts.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's hard to pass up.
All right, so first of all, the biggest thing I'm getting out of this chili sauce here, so my individual component parts, right? So I've got cheddar cheese, I'm fine with that. I've got cheddar cheese on top of tater tots, I'm fine with that. I've got chopped up hot dogs mixed in there. I'm fine with all that. All of this I can abide by. The chili sauce and the mustard I can also pretty much abide by. It's kind of like a bunless hot dog with your fries mixed in. The chili sauce is all about what I think makes or breaks this for you. And for me, the chili sauce, you've got cumin and clove. You've definitely got cumin and clove in there. And it just depends on whether or not you like that speed in your chili, in your Coney. You know what I mean? In your Coney sauce. If you like that Skyline hybrid, because there's no cinnamon, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And that's a big hallmark of the Skyline chili. If you like that, then this is baller. I think I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
This is baller. But I think that's my take on it. Give us some wisdom here, Aaron.
If I was wicked hungover, coming to meet you guys, this would be the kind of thing I would consume to just get it out of my system. I like it though. I like cheap Midwest.
Oh yeah.
Throw food on a plate and see what happens. Just as much as I love hipster, well decorated, you know, talking about connoisseurs of food. Very good. Thank you.
Do you want to refill on your
drink? Yeah, if you don't mind. Diet. Thank you.
So this is that for me. It's like how much canned and frozen food can you throw on a plate, heat up, and satisfy somebody? So kudos to whoever invented this. I don't know how this got invented, but I'm sure it was just, what do you have? Throw that crap on a plate and see what happens.
It is truly a distant cousin from Skyline Chili.
Yeah, a distant cousin.
It really is.
It's the West Virginia cousin.
Yeah, it's a special cousin that you see once in a while at family reunions, and you go, you know, I think I've had my fill.
Yeah, on the car ride home, you and your spouse are just talking about that guy for like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Wow, so Cousin Rodney. So that's a thing, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rodney. So Rodney's in.
This is Cousin Rodney for sure.
So,
apologies to anyone out there named Rodney.
Yeah, no offense, no offense meant. We all chose macaroni salad amongst the choices of coleslaw, potato salad, or macaroni salad. I have my take on that. But does anybody else have anything about why those three?
Because macaroni salad's better.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that. Macaroni salad's always been better. Always will be better. Fight me.
Yeah, I said in the car with Bruce on the way here, I was going to take macaroni salad. Because he's like, well, do you like potato salad? I said, well, potato salad's kind of like the situation where I eat it and I go, oh, you don't have macaroni salad? All right, I'll take it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I always choose macaroni salad. Although my wife's still to this day, I get up for a tailgate. They just go crazy with the food. And one time, she loves, like, I hate to say it on here, but she loves ranch. Not with her wings, but she loves ranch. So I made these like bacon ranch.
There's nothing wrong with liking ranch with wings. I'm just going to go ahead and say
that. That episode's coming, everybody. Or if it's already dropped, you can already go through it.
So I made her this potato salad with ranch and bacon and all this stuff. She was, this is unbelievable. She went to make it for a party. She's like, can you give me that recipe that you had, but I don't want to make it for a party. I shared it with her. It was like a $35 potato salad or something after all the ingredients are in it. She's like, why would you do that? Why would you try that potato salad side dish?
The thing about potato salad is that it's supposed to be 30 cents.
Exactly.
To put together.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I screwed that up. I should never have shared that. I lost the recipe, honey. I don't know.
The tier of salads, very clearly for me, pasta salad, macaroni salad, potato salad, massive gap, F tier, ham salad.
Yeah.
Ham, egg salad. What is egg salad?
I like egg salad.
Egg salad, I can, you know, it's in the middle somewhere. Egg salad, chicken salad, tuna salad.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Those three are not together.
Tuna and chicken. A good chicken? First of all.
Well, those are your sandwich salads.
Get your
chicken.
Yes, of course.
Tuna, egg.
Here's the problem. I have a strong take on this, okay?
All right, I'm ready.
So, chicken salad. A lot of times they put nuts and fruit in it, right? Mm-hmm. Grapes, walnuts. Get your fucking fruit away from my meat, okay? That is a thing that is, like, with, like, higher, better cuisine. People are mixing, like, fruit in with their chicken or with whatever, pork, apples.
You have some fruit on your plate right now.
Yeah, I haven't touched them. It's also cursory, and I find it hilarious. So... But the chicken salad that does not have nuts or fruit in it all day long, basically a tuna salad, but you sub out the tuna for chicken, I'm in there. The second you put the grapes in there, you've just dropped it down to significantly on the tier maker.
I really like grapes in my chicken salad.
Do you?
I do. I like the combination. You know, you get
your fruit
chicken
out of my
salad
meat.
Has a tendency to be very
it's not
uniform.
Super savory.
It was uniform. And so when you add fruits and then you add the nuts in there, you get layers of different things. You get the texture from the nuts. You get the sweetness from the fruit. You get balance to that uniform mayonnaise-based chicken salad. And I think it's good. I like it.
Just celery. Celery, maybe some pickle or something like that. It's all the crunch I need. I don't need any of that other texture.
I do have a tough time with... It's a fine balance for me when you mix sweet with savory or umami flavor when you add sweet to that. I don't always hate it. Some people overdo it though. Like if there's a lot of sweet in there, that's too much for me. I want the sweet to be an accent, if anything, if I'm going to have it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah. All right, so let's get some bills talking here.
Aaron, I feel like I have a pretty good sense of where you stand on things because you guys put out so much content that I've listened to pretty much every episode. So tonight, one of the things that's going to drop on the Embedded series is that they're going to talk a little bit about how they think Ty Inseki can be a starting left tackle. Starting right tackle. Starting right tackle. Specifically, it's talked about in the episode.
Yeah.
We drafted Cody Ford. The front office is also on the record saying that Cody Ford, they're going to try him a tackle, right? For your money, do you have any take on how this offensive line, even on the outside, the inside's a whole other ball of wax, too, to consider, how the tackle situation is going to shake out?
I think week one, I feel like you have to have Inseki starting on that line.
I would love that.
Somewhere.
He might be the best lineman we have. You can make an argument.
He might be. Morris has got, I think right now, for my money, Morris is there. But I don't think Inseki's a hard drop-off, right? I think that everybody's got flaws on this line. But my thing, and this is what I've always said on our podcast, is I want, going into week one, a veteran group who knows the NFL, knows how to communicate at an NFL level, isn't going to get beat by rookie mistakes early, because we have a rookie quarterback. And what we've preached, and Eric has really preached, is it seems like the improvements that Josh Allen made last year when he came back from his injury, a lot of that was eliminating noise, whether that was his stance, how he was dropping back, his reads, what he's communicating to the line. That's one of my favorite things about having Mitch Morris is he's going to be able to take on a lot of that communication this year.
Right.
When you get a guy like Inseki who's used to being on NFL games and communicating with the center, all that communication across the line, I want vets starting. And there's nothing against Ford. I think he's got some things to improve on. And if he becomes a guy that week 9, 10, you just can't keep off the field anymore, that is a huge, awesome problem for the Bills to have a rookie that you feel like you can't keep off the field. But until he proves that, man, I want vets.
That's my style as well. I would much rather start veteran and then let the rookie, if the rookie shows up, he will take over. Yeah, because I talked to, we've all talked with Joe Marino, a friend of all of our pods from Locked On Bills, and a conversation I had briefly with him was that if we want to make a run at anything this year, we have got to start fast, which means that rookie mistakes and growing pains early on this schedule, with the back half being as difficult as it is, that would be the rate I would go. But I know Bruce has a pretty strong take on what the front office is probably going to try to do, and I don't know if that's changed for you at all, but...
I love with you. I don't know what strong take you're talking about.
Well, that Cody Ford, the Bills are not going to they're not going to kick Cody Ford inside or keep him off.
They have not, with high picks, Tremaine Edmonds, Tre'Davious White, they have not shown that they're really super patient with him. They throw him in there. I mean, Tre'Davious White was the starting corner walking off the bus. So was Tremaine Edmonds, obviously not corner, but a linebacker. I think they're going to give Cody Ford a chance to fail. I actually agree with both of you. I actually would prefer Inseki on there. Also, you and I have talked about, Nick, isolating the variable a lot. And if we can isolate the variable of Josh Allen, the better off we'll be. And one of the ways you do that is by making sure it's vets on the line, like Aaron said. You know, the fact of the matter is that the less things we have to worry about, the more we can focus on the things that we would like to worry about, which is Josh Allen, his progression in the second season. If we're worried about that, and also Cody Ford at right tackle not getting used to speed rushers coming off that side and things like that, then that just adds another variable into the equation. I don't have to worry about Inseki. I know if he screws up that it's a screw-up. It's not a rookie problem that I have to address habitually, which it might be if it's Cody Ford making a similar mistake.
And on the edge, not that any positions, I don't agree that left tackle is a premium anymore because defensive ends are moving around and things like that, and you got guys like Aaron Donald in the middle. So all your positions are premiums along the offensive line. When you have a rookie quarterback who is still going to be making mistakes, still going to have inaccuracy, still going to have as soon as that pocket breaks down, going to want to run. I think that on the edge, you have to limit isolate the variables, limit the mistakes. And I do think that comes with a vet up front. But I agree with you. There's been a lot of talk about, do you kick him inside I don't know that you do that yet and change his position. I think if you're going to kick anyone inside, I hate to say it, I'd kick Deion Dawkins inside. But I also think it's too early in his career to write him off as a potential long-term solution at left tackle, because Insecki's not your long-term solution at either tackle position, right? So you're only kicking a can down the road and creating a problem that you have to draft or bring into free agency later.
The developments along the offensive line are almost a no-win situation, because any way you put the five, you feel like you're okay with it, but you're missing an opportunity. It's almost, I don't want to say embarrassment of riches, because that makes it sound like the line is way, way, way better than it is. But no matter what five you put out, you think to yourself, oh gosh, we're missing an opportunity. Or like, for example, we're missing an opportunity to get a high second round pick, right, on the line. Or we're missing an opportunity to get Ty Insecki on the line. Or we're missing an opportunity to see Deion Dawkins develop at left tackle. Or no matter what it is, you feel like there's a missed opportunity. There's no way to check all the boxes.
Yeah.
You have to assume that you're not going to be able to check one of them and just be okay with that. Peace with that.
Any fan who has any opinion on any one individual guy,
right,
and there's probably fans who like Dawkins, who like Ford, who like Insecki. I'm in the Insecki camp for personally labeling myself. Somebody's going to be disappointed somewhere. You know, there's a certain segment of fans somehow, some way, who are going to be disappointed, because some people's number one, if they had their druthers, their number one choice would be start Ford. Some people, it would be start Insecki. That's me. Some people would say kick Dawkins inside, right? Like, there's people all over the place. Some of us, somehow, some way, are going to be disappointed.
I don't know that I will. Only because I don't have like a favorite along this line besides Morris.
That's the alternative
right
yeah.
now, because just because of that huge step forward they took in that position, that he's going to be my favorite going into it. But we went from such a bad unit to such an average unit, at least on paper, that I'm
so gonna, average.
Yeah,
average is amazing for us.
It's a huge step forward for a team that won six games, that was in a lot of games, and if you. We talk about it all the time. Wide receiver, we went to average. All the positions that we were the weakest at were at least, I think, average.
Robust average.
Yeah. And a good, we're having this conversation about linemen, a good offensive lineman, at least the swing guy that can be a backup on another team, is going to get cut from this team. And I can't remember the last time that happened. Like, good depth players are getting cut from the Bills, and teams are going to be jumping to go get them.
The other thing, too, you think about is LaAdrian Waddle. Like, does he have a puncher's chance at a start? Because I think everybody would talk about the top three guys that we just spoke about. You know, and barring injury, LaAdrian Waddle's kind of on the outside looking in. Are you going to keep two swing tackles? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you so much. Are you going to keep two swing tackles? You guys threw in the towel. I'm the only one who did it. Y'all, Aaron, you did pretty good. You just didn't hit the bread.
Too much carbs with the salad, the bread.
I'm just putting that in my body and, you know, chug some coffee and just pray that it's like Drano.
I got to run around with a three-year-old when I get home, so.
Oh, yeah.
I can't.
I got to sit in a car for 3 hours, yeah. So I can probably swing that.
You can probably swing that. I can't swing that.
It's going to be tough. Yeah, I can. My body's already like, what in
the
fuck?
Just eat the donuts and that'll just absorb the
yeah. It's a nice day. We'll roll the windows down.
And do you ever imagine your body like either Osmosis Jones? You guys remember that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Pixar movie that came out, Inside Out. Is that what it was called?
Uh-huh.
With like people inside your body. I often imagine that my body has little autonomous workers on the inside whose job is to keep me going. And sometimes when I eat things and they just see them coming down the conveyor belt, they're just like, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do with this? All right, boys, we're calling in overtime tonight.
Mandatory overtime tonight, because Nick had hot wings at Bar Bill.
Yeah. I just imagine them flipping one of those industrial like manufacturing switches and the red like,
it's happening. It's happening.
There's a sign on the wall that says 0 days since incident.
Yeah.
They flip it. Daggone it, here we go again. That 0 days since incident.
Michael Scott can't move.
Yeah,
right,
it's happening.
Oh my god, it's happening.
That's I truly think about that all the time. Whenever I eat something like this and I shouldn't, I start feeling like
you're good. You're good.
Thank you for the donuts, please.
So you guys went to Ted's. I have to tell you. So I've done some stupid things when it comes to food. I've done ghost pepper challenges, like how many ghost pepper wings can you eat? I did an 8-pound burrito once at this dirty little Mexican place in my hometown, like this horrible little spot. Ate the whole thing. Actually couldn't sit up for about 4 hours. Like, I was leaned back in my car, just 8 pounds of hot food.
We got home in 20 minutes and I sat in the car for 3 hours.
It was horrible. My girlfriend at the time was just like, you are the biggest city I've ever met. I'm just like breaking out in sweats. So it was like, yeah, it was like my picture's on the wall.
Were you making Drew Greer noises?
This pain is temporary.
That's right. That picture.
That picture? Forever.
Yeah.
Were you putting out some Drew Greer noises?
Oh, yeah. And then, so somebody came up and brought them to Ted's. At Ted's, they had this promotional piece that was like, make your dog awesome, or whatever it was. And I thought this was a new hot dog that they had. And on the picture, it had the hot dog had chili, macaroni and cheese, onion rings, all the extra sides. But what they were, my wife explained to me later, what they were saying is you can get any of these things on your hot dog. It wasn't a hot dog with all of these things. So I get up to the window, I'm like, I want that one. And the lady says, what are you talking about? Which one do you want? I was like, no, I want it. I want all of it.
All that stuff.
Yeah. And she's like, no, you don't want that. They actually
you don't want
when the that. Woman at the front desk says, don't do this, trust me, you should
that's
understand.
A step, that's a step beyond the waiter at Barbell going, oh, it's really hot. Yeah. That's a step beyond that. They're saying, no, sir.
No, don't do this.
To me, yourself. That says, no. Dude, now you're saying I don't want it. Now it's a challenge. And I want it.
So they had to get the manager.
They had to get the manager to like ring it in. They're like, how do we ring all these in? It was like a $16 hot dog or something like that at Ted's. They bring it out. It's just piled on, and I crush it. I just I'm having
fork
the time
and knife.
Yeah. I had to pick it up. I wanted to. I tried picking it up, but it was just the chili everywhere. So I'm crushing it. I'm having like a pig and shit, just happy as can be. And after I clear it, finish it, and the two people behind me came up, and like after I was done, they're like, I hate to do this, but that was incredible. And they shook my hand, like, I can't believe you finished that.
I hate to do this.
They were like applauding, like, I can't believe you did it. And my wife was just so embarrassed. She was like,
so like there were patrons, other patrons in it, and so they saw what you were doing.
They witnessed the feat, and my wife was so damn embarrassed. So that's my gluttonous story.
That's a damn good story. I forgot you mentioned on Twitter you wanted to tell us that.
Yeah.
That is awesome, though.
It's one of the few...
You don't look like a guy who's put yourself through these things, though. You got either
he has a genetic metabolic
advantage. Yeah, you either have the metabolism or you got the workouts.
I diet 90% of the time.
Okay.
I used to not, because I worked in a barbecue restaurant for years. I just ate. I had one girlfriend that was like, dude, you're going to diet 25 the way you eat. And this winter, I lost a lot of weight. I had to take a diet. Dude, when you just, as you get older, it's just harder and harder. And so I have to diet, or I have to buy new clothes all the time, because I just keep going up, up, and up. And I like wearing my old Bills jerseys that are still largest. I don't want to grow out of those, you know what I mean? So
I did wear my fat shorts.
Yeah, you did.
This weekend. Like, I wore extra fat shorts, and I am happy to report that they're still slipping off me a little bit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I haven't gained any significant weight this weekend.
Yeah.
Give it 3 hours.
I was going to say, whenever people come up to Buffalo, I always tell them, like, be prepared to gain 5 pounds, at least, when you come up here. We're going to treat you to the most lard-filled, butter-seasoned food that you could possibly imagine. Yeah. One thing I've observed here, real quick, because we just talked about this on our podcast last week. It was a question brought in by one of our fans about cargo shorts. We got one of you in cargo shorts, one of you in not cargo shorts. Is that a opposition to cargo shorts from you, or is that...
Well, I think that... Well, no, you have a cargo shorts take. I don't really have a cargo shorts take. I don't have any cargo shorts. I do think that I would feel a little... Yeah... I suppose now I'm thinking about it. I'm not really a
so you do have a thing against
I them. Guess I do. I'm not, I don't own any, and if I had the opportunity to buy more shorts like these or cargo shorts, I might look at the cargo shorts and go, God damn, I could really use that utility. No,
it's
I'm
like
not
the versatility of our offensive line.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to buy the other ones. That's probably exactly the mental process
the
I would
swing
go through.
Tackle of clothing.
That's funny.
I kiss the ring of the godfather of cargo shorts, Del Reed.
Yeah.
And I openly defy anyone to tell me why cargo shorts do not represent a net increase to your quality of life when you're wearing them because of the utility. And really, that's what this is all about. This is a net increase to my quality of life. Do you know what's not a net decrease? People thinking I look like an idiot. That does not matter to me.
Yeah.
So given the fact that that doesn't matter to me, and I get the pockets, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah. You know what's great is I used to care about that stuff maybe a little bit. As soon as I got married, all that went out the window because my wife already thinks I look like an idiot. She already thinks I'm an idiot. She knows I'm an idiot. So I don't have anybody actually to care about additionally thinking I'm an idiot because the person I care about most already knows that I am.
The marriage 15 that people gain, it's very similar to the marriage don't give a fuck about the cargo shorts.
And if anything, I've always said this too, if it comes down to like people saying, well, girls don't like that style or whatever, if anything, I have to repel that anyway. I have to look as dumb and unattractive as possible anyway because I don't want that in my life.
Well, I'm way ahead of both of you on that one, so just, you know, take a back seat. Take a back seat. I know all three of us are married, but nobody repels the chicks like Bruce does.
Why do people tell married guys that they're like, well, you look stupid like girls? I'm like, well, good. Tell me all the things girls like. That's what I want in my life. I don't want anyone liking that.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that that's the reason why I'm doing it. I'm doing it specifically to repel the girls, you know. Yeah, absolutely. It's not because I'm just a loser. That's certainly not it. Yeah. It's a conscious decision I'm making to try to make sure my marriage stays strong.
Occasionally you might get that woman who's like an outdoorsy, you know, self-sufficient type who's going to see those cargo shorts. She's going to see this guy knows how to do it. And then now you've got a whole other problem because that person strikes me as very determined.
Well, if you have an outdoorsy self-sufficient type who somehow is initially attractive because of the cargo shorts, she will quickly become unattracted by my litany of other things that a person, woman of that style would not like.
Yeah, like my not wanting to be outdoors.
Yes, let's go with that.
We immediately separated our common ground after shorts.
There we go. All right. Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for the donuts,
for
your generosity of time, for coming out and hanging out with us. It was awesome.
You guys had limited time in Buffalo, so I wanted to make sure that I give you as much calories as possible.
Well, good luck.
I mean, calories per hour, I think,
I shouldn't have to put gasoline in my car. I should be able to just take some of my caloric intake and get us home. But it's been awesome hanging out with you, man. Tell us again who people can find you on Twitter.
At Aaron Quinn 716, and probably in your guys' mentions.
That's probably true. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this, and we will be back with you here in the near future. Hope you've enjoyed the food tour, and until next time. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for sticking with us through this food pod journey. The 2019, I guess, well, the summer of 2019 Buffalo Food Tour. I have a feeling we're going to maybe do this again, Bruce. Are you going to be ready?
It might take me another year. If this becomes an annual thing, I might just be recovering in 2020 when we get there.
I tell you what, we are 1 hour into our trip, having just left Aaron Quinn at Greek to Me, where we ate the almost famous hangover plates, a copycat of the Rochester garbage plates, and I must say that this weekend's toll is being felt in pretty full effect.
Yeah, I knew it was coming, and I know at one point I will look back at this and laugh, but right now it's not feeling very funny.
The smartest thing that we did was the garbage plate last.
Absolutely.
This would have derailed the entire trip if we had had it prior to any of the other foods. All right, let's do a quick power rankings. So let's go through again. We had Stingers from Jim's Steakout with Del Reed. Then we had Leonardi's Pizza with Matt Perino. We had Ted's Hot Dogs with Marcel Louis Jacques. We had Wings at Barville Tavern with Rock Pile Report and Banged Up Bills. And we had Beef on Weck with Tim Graham from Charlie the Butcher. Then this morning we had the garbage plate from Greek to Me, the almost famous hangover plate from Greek to Me with Aaron Quinn. Give us your tier maker, Bruce.
All right.
Power rank these.
I'm going to power rank them. We're going to start at the bottom. Imitation garbage plate at the bottom. I will very likely never have that again.
Yeah.
Not just because of the effect it is having on my digestive tract, but also because historically taking this hodgepodge thing and just covering it in chili, you know, covering it in a chili sauce of some sort.
Texas sauce.
Texas sauce, as they call it, right? It reminds me too much of Skyline Chili, which is not something that I'm particularly, I mean, fan of. I'm just, you know, it's okay.
It's in that family. If you are going to try to relate this sauce, at least that Greek to me used, to Skyline chili or traditional chili, it is way, way, way closer to Skyline chili, Coney sauce, whatever you want to call it, with those aromatic spices that I, quite honestly, I attribute them most of the time to the holiday season.
Agreed.
Candles and stuff like that.
It's markedly different than the traditional chili. In fact, I would make an argument you probably shouldn't even have it in the chili family. It's a little bit like saying, you know, chili and chicken tortilla soup are in the same family. Yeah, they're both soupy, but it's not even close. The spices that are the foundation of the flavor are markedly different, and as such should be different.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I could potentially have it again. I would probably have it again at a different place to see if anybody uses a flavor profile that's more close to traditional chili.
I'd agree.
Honestly. Because if I could have everything the same, and I could have like a traditional, not overpowering cumin and clove flavor profile, and they didn't put cinnamon in, which I'm very grateful for, but if they didn't get the cinnamon either, then I would be very interested. But I think that that's probably part of the expectation, is that the chili sauce is going to have that flavor. And that really does kind of knock it down for me. But, you know, everything else, of course, so we've talked about this. The component parts I'm fine with. You had chopped steak. I'm sure you're fine with chopped steak in certain circumstances. I had hot dogs. I'm fine with hot dogs. Tater tots. You had home fries, cheese, all of these things. Okay, that's fine.
Right? Yeah.
We can onions. Okay, I can do all of that. But yeah, it was. You have to be into the sauce, I think.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
If you are into the sauce, a garbage plate will be something that you're all right with. I would never recommend doing what I did, which was eating the whole thing. Because there is no way in hell that I am going to be eating anything before like 9 o'clock tonight, if I'm even hungry then.
Number four.
No, number five. Six. We did six.
We did six?
So number four. Let's just say number five.
Number five. At the second to last spot on the list, we have Leonardi's Pizza.
Hey, this is a god. God.
Not because I didn't like Leonardi's Pizza. Because Leonardi's Pizza was perfectly reasonable. But pizza, for me, the difference between bad pizza and good pizza, I don't think is as significant a swing as the difference between a bad and a good genre of food that occupies the space above these in the power rankings.
Well, that's fine. You cannot have pizza as high on your rankings as 99% of humans. We will move on.
Okay.
But you thought, compared to pizza in general, it was not bad pizza. It was above average.
It was absolutely above average pizza.
Okay. Right.
It was a good representation of what I believe good pizza should taste like.
All right. Okay. Let's move on. Number four.
Next spot, Ted's Hot Dogs.
Okay.
Ted's Hot Dogs. Great place. Good hot dog. I think the ceiling on hot dogs will always be lower because it's a hot dog.
Yeah.
The ceiling on hot dogs will never be what the ceiling is on a chicken wing or the ceiling on other things.
Yeah.
There isn't that level of depth to a hot dog.
I think one of the things that, and it's fine, this doesn't have to be your taste, but you got a chili cheese dog.
I did.
And one of the things I think that, you know, makes Ted's quote unquote famous is their hot sauce, which is a ketchup, like a spicy ketchup relish condiment. And you did not get that.
I did not.
And if you get that, and that moves the needle for you because you think that sauce is good, it takes Ted's to a new level. But, you know, though that particular mixture didn't sound appetizing to you, we weren't going to force it on you, so you forego it.
I felt like a chili cheese dog is a reasonable bar by which to judge a place that is allegedly famous for their hot dogs.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So, and chili cheese dogs are not uncommon. That is a very common order. So that's totally...
It was on the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame list in front of me.
Yeah.
It was one of the Hall of Fame items for them. So I felt comfortable.
Okay, very good. Number three.
Jim's Steakout and the Stinger.
Yeah, that's probably your upset pick. That's probably a little higher than maybe some people would expect.
I understand why there are some people who would look at this and go, holy hell, what is this abomination that you have put in front of me, this sacrilegious thing. But I am of the opinion that to let people like things. This is coming from a guy who, you know, likes ranch on his wings. So of course I have that take, because I believe you should let people like things. And if you take a buffalo chicken sub and you put shaved meat on it, good on you, man. I actually think the shaved meat helps bind everything together, because it attaches itself both to the condiments, lettuce and tomato and dressing of whatever choice you have. It attaches itself and almost serves as a binder that allows it to not be so slippery. You don't have to worry about a Philly cheesesteak sliding out of the sub, but you do have to worry about when you put like patties or fingers in a sub, that you're going to get movement and you're going to get a bite and it's going to be all bread, right? Or it's going to be movement, but the actual presence of that shaved meat actually forms a binder to keep everything in place, in addition to adding additional texture.
An underrated characteristic of all of Jim's sandwiches to me is the bread. Now, I know you had a critique of the bread on the actual cheesesteak item on their menu.
Yes.
But for me, that bread was fresh, soft, chewy. That was the kind of bread that I'm into. You compared it to Jimmy John's French bread, and I'm there for that. I love Jimmy John's French bread. I do think this was tantamount to it, and it was a little softer. But I was very pleased with the Jim's Steakhouse that we went to, because there's multiple locations. Could have had a good experience, could have had a bad experience, whatever. Glad we had a good one, and so that leaves the top two remainders. So we're going to know number one by how you describe number two. We've got beef on whack from Charlie the Butcher, or wings from Bar Bill Tavern. Go ahead and give us number two.
And the runner-up is... wings from Bar Bill.
Okay,
wings from Bar Bill is the runner-up. The wings were great. They were great. The idea that you can kind of paint on the sauce instead of drenching it in there means you get crispy wings, which I like.
But the sauce was so present.
Yes.
It was so present.
Absolutely, it was. Crazy. But it wasn't present to the point where the longer I let the wings sit, the worse it gets rapidly.
Right.
And that is the case with so many other wings.
Right.
You almost don't want to take them home, because your fear is that when you get them from a place and you bring them home, by the time you get them home, you get decaying. It's like
the skin is a totally different consistency.
Absolutely. It's almost like, you know, what's the term I'm looking for? In evolutionary theory, there's a carbon decay, right? It's a half-life to a wing exterior. And you run into problems like that with a lot of wings, and you don't run into that with Bar Bill. I like texture in my food. You probably noticed that from the way I describe a lot of other things. I appreciate varieties and texture. That was part of my chicken salad take at Greek to me when we were talking about that with Aaron Quinn. Texture is a big deal to me. The fact that I can get crispy wings and still also have them saucy and not get these, you know, pathetic excuse for these tiny fatty wings that you get other places is special. In addition, I did not make the mistake of getting hot and then the following day getting a garbage plate.
Oh, too bad.
I got medium, and they had a pretty good punch.
The hot, again, I have said this. I said it on the other pod. I talked to Aaron about it. You just never know what hot means from one establishment to another until you've been there and you've tried it. And I flew too close to the sun, just tattooed Icarus all over my stomach, because that was a mistake that I have now experienced three times, and I fear a fourth.
And obviously the winner's beef on whack. Beef on whack was the best thing I had this weekend.
And you didn't even have it. There are competitors for the best beef on whack, that Charlie the Butcher is not a unanimous choice.
Well, I have a hard time imagining that there's beef on whack out there that's better than what I had, but I'm in no place to judge it at this point because, of course, I haven't had the rest of them.
Yeah.
Beef on whack to me was a thing that I've had in Buffalo that I've never had anywhere else before. And as Tim Graham said, I don't understand why this isn't a thing anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that, the saltiness of that roll, and the fact that it's so dense that you can dip the roll in the au jus and have it not be a scenario like the Chicago beef sandwiches where they dunk it and it comes out and you have to eat it with a fork now because the bread has just given way. That is not the case anymore.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So you add the density with the flavor. You get the salt. You got the caraway. You get the freshly cut beef. It's not fatty. It's not, it's, I'm not picking it out of my gums later because I'm getting this ugly fat chew that I don't really like. It was brilliant. And the longer it sat, it didn't lose anything. We were there with Tim Graham for 90 minutes, and it did not lose a thing from the moment I picked it up until the moment it was gone. Beef on Weck is a clear number one, maybe an upset choice to some, not to me.
Yeah, it is awesome, and I'm excited to go back to some of the other places that claim the best beef on Weck, like Schwabel's, like Barbill. We didn't get them at Barbill, but that's a place where they also claim to have the best beef on Weck. So, well, we hope that everybody has enjoyed this food tour where Nick and Nolan take Buffalo. It's something very different. Obviously, it's the dog days of summer. We were running out of some football things and don't want to burn up all the capital that we have. If you want to go back and see all of the tweets, or most of the tweets, there might have been a couple that we forgot, but the tweets and the food pictures and everything from our visits, search on Twitter, hashtag Nick and A-N-D, Nolan, take Buffalo. And almost all of the conversations we had with our guests, with the photos of where we were and whatnot, you can see what we saw, at least in a lot of the places. We didn't think ahead enough to take photos of everywhere, depending on the circumstances and whatnot. But if you want to follow along with our journey on Twitter, check us out on Twitter, hashtag Nick and Nolan Take Buffalo. Again, this is Nick Batt. You can find me on Twitter at N-I-C-K-B-A-T.
And this is Bruce Nolan signing off. You can find me on Twitter at Bruce Exclusive.
Thanks so much for following along with us, guys. If you liked this overnight trip to go meet the extended family, if this was something that you were into, if you found us entertaining, if you liked the football talk, if you liked the food talk, if you're just in general glad that Nick and Nolan are putting out podcasts and that we're on the Buffalo Rumblings channel, please, please, please consider going over to the iTunes store. Give us a couple sentence review. Give us a 5-star, a 4-star review. Tell us what you think. We take the criticism. We take the feedback. We want to get better, and we want to know what you want from us. Give us your thoughts, and until next time.
I do the cha-cha like a sissy girl. I like a do the cha-cha.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.